had a front row seat for the men's golf team winning the national title last week here in town. You could find his work on the cover of the Register Guard sports section, registerguard.com as well. Become a Twitter follower. Use the handle at Austin Meek RG. Austin Meek, how you doing?
Hey, Steve. I am good. How are you doing?
All is well. All is well. Obviously, a huge local focus. Casey Martin and his guys won the national championship. A lot of drama, huge moments. I actually want to start with a Texas kid, Taylor Funk, who everybody who follows golf knows his dad, Fred. I think you mentioned he won 8 PGA events. But in that match, kind of down the stretch, the final hole of regulation, you know, he had one of those knee knockers, 4 or 5 feet just to extend, and he put it in the heart. You were there. I mean, how tense, how impressive a moment was it for that young guy?
Well, I wrote the next day that I think if you were going to make a list of the greatest sporting event ever contested in Eugene, that men's golf final would have to be somewhere on the list. And I don't know where it is, and I'm definitely not the person to make the list because I've only been here 3 years. So right. You could probably make a more complete list than I could. But I think somewhere on that list you have to include that last match because it was just incredible drama. You know, just to set the scene, it's coming down to extra holes, and the national title is riding on Suleiman Raza, who's a local kid who went to South Eugene. And he had a chance to win it. And then Taylor Funk, who you mentioned, had a chance to win it. They both missed pretty makeable putts, you know, inside 6 feet that could have won the national title for either team before Raza finally made his last putt to win it. So great drama. It was a great scene and, you know, one of the most dramatic sporting events certainly I've covered since I came to Eugene.
Now, you hit on something I thought was important. For the Ducks to be in it, first of all, at that venue, the weather, the aesthetics, I think Coach Martin called it a fairy tale. But when you consider the women's event first, the week before, I mean, the entire thing was quite an undertaking, and I don't think it's unreasonable to say it was pulled off almost to perfection.
Yeah, Oregon couldn't have dreamed for anything better than what they got when they put in a bid to host these tournaments. Obviously, the home course advantage was a factor. You know, how many strokes was that worth over the course of the tournament? I don't know. But, you know, do those things happen if Oregon is playing on a neutral course? Probably not. But, hey, give them credit. You know, that's part of the reason they put in that bid was Casey Martin felt like he was going to have a good team. He knew Aaron Wise was going to be a stud and thought, you know, this would be a good year to have the tournament on our course and maybe we could make a run at it. And they did. So, you know, it was a very long 2 weeks. I spent not the whole time out there, but quite a bit of it. I know I was pretty worn out by the end of it. I can't imagine the people from the U of O and Eugene Country Club, how much time they put into it. But Oregon got what it wanted. You know, they got an individual national title, they got a team national title, and a women's team in the Elite Eight. That's a pretty good haul for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're continuing with Austin Meek of the Register Guard, and you mentioned playing on the home course, and I think the average fan thinks home court advantage, home field advantage. It's a little different in golf. And you actually quoted the Texas coach, John Fields. What did he have to say about maybe the challenges of Eugene Country Club and what they presented for visitors who were not as familiar with that track?
Yeah, Texas really had all the odds stacked against them in that final, because number one, they were playing 4-on-5 because of the rules of golf, which I don't completely understand, but you know, Bo Hostler, their number one player, gets hurt, so they have to concede one of their matches, so they're already starting in the hole. And then they're playing the home team on its home course in front of its home fans. And, you know, the Texas coach was really gracious about all that stuff, but he did make the comment that, you know, on number 18, Taylor Funk, as we mentioned, had probably a 5-foot putt that could have won the tournament. And he said he just misread it a tiny bit. It didn't break exactly like he thought it was going to break. And the Texas coach made the point that That probably doesn't happen for Oregon. They know those greens so well. They know exactly how the ball is going to move and where it's going to break. And just something little like that could be the difference between winning a national title and losing a national title.
Yeah, he mentioned something about sight lines. And for anybody who's played golf competitively, oh, it matters. You mentioned Texas having one of the top five ranked amateurs in the world on their roster who got hurt, couldn't tee it up. So what did you learn about that? What were the circumstances? And my goodness, if you follow sports, how odd is that, that somebody's hurt? Nah, that's the end of that. You can't sub.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, you know, a national title game in basketball and one of the starters gets hurt. And they say, okay, you got to play 4-on-5 the rest of the game. You can't bring in a sub. I mean, that would probably diminish the quality of the competition a little bit, in my mind. So I'm not sure why golf has the rule that if a guy gets hurt, you can't bring in a sub. It's a team sport. They, you know, certainly every team has more than five players. They could have brought somebody as a backup. But how the rules are, and both coaches were asked about that afterwards. And the Texas coach, for some reason, said he actually liked the rule that you couldn't sub, even though it clearly cost his team. Casey Martin, I thought, was a little more realistic about it and said, you know, in a team sport, it would make sense to be able to bring in a sub if a guy gets hurt. And Oregon, you know, Oregon had a golfer who was playing sick all week, too, so it wasn't just Texas. But to me, it's kind of a no-brainer. If I made the rules, I would tomorrow change it to where, hey, if a guy gets hurt or if a guy's sick, you've got a backup you can bring in for that purpose.
No, it was just strange. I mean, even in Caddyshack, the big dollar match, they got to bring in Danny Noonan when Ronnie Dangerfield got hurt. The gallery, you wrote, you know, obviously at a golf major, a PGA major, you know, everything's behind the ropes, especially on a Sunday. You know, you have to strain to see the contenders. So while this was well attended, if I read you correctly, the fans were kind of like right there as more than just a backdrop or faces in the crowd.
Yeah, and that was the coolest part for me, was seeing the crowd get behind the hometown team coming down the stretch of that last match. Yeah, it's the kind of scene that you really don't see very much in golf. Golf crowds are usually pretty reserved. You know, you got the one guy yelling, "Get in the hole!" after every shot, and then, you know, everybody else is just kind of standing there watching. You know, it's not like they're pulling for one particular outcome. You know, you have fans of different golfers. Like, I was at the U.S. Open last year, and that was an enjoyable spectator experience. But you didn't have the feeling of the whole crowd pulling for one particular outcome like you had at a college tournament, where the crowd was clearly pulling for the home team. So it was really cool, and it was a great scene afterwards. After Raza made that putt, you know, gradually the crowd had just been creeping closer and closer, and eventually the ropes just kind of got trampled, and there really was no barrier between the competitors and the fans. And when Raza made that putt, everybody just stormed onto the green. You know, somebody asked, the Pac-12 just passed those new rules about court storming where they're going to fine schools for storming the court. So, you know, what's the fine for storming the green? I don't know, but they were fans everywhere running around on that green, and it was a pretty cool scene.
The fine is you got to deal with the greenskeeper the next morning who has to get that course in shape for some pretty substantial paying customers. You know, another story off the subject of golf. Yeah, the truth be told, it's kind of weird because we're in Eugene. The topic hasn't surfaced much on this show. Oregon baseball, it was a disappointing season. And our buddy Steve Mims wrote about George Horton entering the last year of his contract. But for openers, I sent it out on Twitter a little bit ago. The one thing, whether you wonder about the status of Horton, I mean, is there a guy like who just never makes excuses, always accountable, and just very in touch with the reality of his situation than George Horton?
Yeah, George is probably one of my favorite coaches to deal with at the U of O, just because, you know, he's a pretty honest guy. You could say he's honest to a fault sometimes. I mean, he'll tell you exactly what's going on. even if you know, even if it's not pretty sometimes. But I do respect that about George. And you know, it's an interesting situation they've got with UO baseball, because you know, they started the program from scratch, and by any standard of a startup program, in the first 5 years or whatever, you know, they accomplished everything you could have hoped for a program starting from scratch. I mean, George Horton built that into a contender very quickly. But the problem is they've kind of gone the wrong direction the last 3 years, you know. They got to a super regional, and then the next year they got to a regional, and then the next year they barely got to a regional, and then this year they missed the postseason. So that's the problem for George is he by any measure has done a very good job of building the program, but it's like they got to a particular point short of where they wanted to be, because Omaha, as we know, has always been the measuring stick for them. They got close to that, and then since then they've taken a step back every year.
So in a nutshell, I mean, how could we evaluate where things stand? Is he looking for an extension? Is he going to talk with Rob Mullins? I mean, is this here at this job where he wants to be? Or is there an element of logic to think, hey, he's got a year left, he'll go into next season and maybe be coaching for his job?
Well, when Steve and I sat down with George, I got the impression that he certainly would like to have the security of not being in the last year of his deal next season. He would like an extension. But I got the sense, and he didn't say this exactly, but I got the sense that he probably understood that after missing the postseason this year, that's not really the time that you pony up a big extension for a coach. So
right.
I do think it's a scenario where next year there's going to be a lot of eyes on what happens next year, and he could very well be in a situation where he's coaching for an extension. I think Oregon definitely needs to get back to the postseason next year. I don't think it's an Omaha or bust year. I don't see the talent on the team, frankly, to set that expectation. But I do think they need to get back to the postseason. There needs to be some sign that they're going back up. You know, they've been on the wrong trajectory the last few years. And I think for George to be in a position to get an extension, they probably need to show that they can turn that around and get back on the upwards trajectory.
All righty. And safe to assume as the NCAAs begin tomorrow that you'll be out there back in the sun, and you're going to have to make sure that your expense report accounts for sunscreen. So you're looking forward to another home event. Top heavy chance for Oregon to do great things?
Well, first of all, you're exactly right about that. My pasty white skin did not do too well with the sun those 2 weeks at the golf tournament. I don't think I've really had time to sufficiently recover from that. But I am looking forward to the NCAA track meet. I think there's going to be some drama this year. I don't think it's going to be a year where Oregon just walks away with it. If you look at the form charts right now, Oregon's not favored on either side, the men's or the women's. I think the men are third on the form chart, and the women were second. So I think both races are going to be really competitive. I think there's going to be a lot of drama on Friday and Saturday as those team races are decided.
All right, should be a lot of fun. Enjoy the weekend, and obviously we'll go a little more in-depth over the results when you join us next Tuesday. Always appreciate you getting us started on a Tuesday, Austin. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Steve.
All right,
talk to you later.
Take it easy.